Continuing our series, we've entitled Pondering the Parables. We want to consider tonight this parable that we have before us. We find in Matthew 13, beginning at verse 47. It is there the parable of the great net that is cast into the sea. And gathered in some of every kind. And then there was the examination of the catch. And the bad was cast away while the good was put into a vessel. This is the last of the seven parables that are recorded in Matthew chapter 13. And each of the seven parables that the Savior told is about the kingdom of heaven. So the Lord's hearers that day heard seven messages about the kingdom of heaven. There are some, perhaps even listening to this message tonight, who have heard quite a few messages about the kingdom of heaven, and have asked, perhaps they would not be able to calculate the number of sermons they have heard concerning the kingdom of heaven. Because all their life they have had the gospel of the kingdom preached to them. And they've asked how many times have they heard sermons about the kingdom of heaven? Have you heard seven? Have you heard more than seven? They might well reply, yes, 70 times seven. Have I heard about the kingdom of heaven? We might ask then, well, are you on your way to the kingdom of heaven? Will you one day enter into the kingdom? Will you one day enter in through those gates of glory? Will you one day walk those streets of pure gold? Will you one day sing the song of the redeemed? Have you taken Jesus at his word when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Are you walking the narrow way which leadeth on to life? Or are you on that broad way leaders to destruction? It's interesting that a recent survey carried out in the U.S. found that over 80% of those surveyed and questioned believed in heaven. And about the same percentage believed they were going to heaven. Most people then believe in heaven. Most people believe they're going to heaven, but I wonder, will they be in heaven? Whatever they think here upon earth, I wonder, will we see them in glory? Because you see, that is what this parable is all about. It is a very searching parable. Because it deals with those who believe that one day they will be in heaven, but the unfortunate thing is they will never see heaven. For you see, what the Lord Jesus is dealing with here is the visible and the invisible church. What do we mean by the visible church? Well, we mean that the visible church is made up of those here upon earth who say that they're in Christ, who say that they're going to heaven. That's the visible church, what we see. And we can only take a man or a woman at his or her word. But many who are in the visible church here upon earth may not be part of the invisible church. The invisible church is what is already in heaven. We cannot see who all are in heaven. We know that only those who are washed in the blood and saved by grace alone will be in heaven. That's the invisible church. Those who are truly in Jesus Christ. And this parable is all about the dividing of the good from the bad. Those who are truly saved from those who perhaps have nothing more than a profession. Oh, they may believe that one day they will be in heaven like that 80%. If they are good attenders at the house of God, well, they believe they're going to heaven. If they're good, upright citizens and they pay 100 cents in the dollar, they believe they're going to heaven. If they're charitable to their neighbor, if they seek to do what's right, if they say, I would never steal, I would never lie, well, they believe they're going to heaven. But if that's all that they have, they'll not be in heaven. They may appear to be part of the visible church here upon earth. But then there's a day coming when all our works and all our profession will be tried. And those who are not in Christ, those who were not saved by the grace of God, those who were not truly regenerated, all that they have been trusting in will burn as wood, hay, and stubble. That's the message of this parable. The net is spread, cast into the sea. When the net is filled, the fishermen bring it in. And just like any fisherman, They look through their catch, and that which is no good, they just toss away. And the day is coming when the gospel net will be drawn to shore. And the catch will be examined. And the good will be taken and put into vessels. But the bad, the ungodly, the unsaved, those who are not saved, will be cast away. This is a heart-searching parable. And I want us, first of all, then, to consider how sinners are sought. How sinners are sought. The Lord Jesus tells His hearers that seeking souls for the kingdom of heaven is like men going out to fish. The Lord Jesus, of course, called upon His disciples. He said, follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men. And so the gospel preacher is a fisher of men. Here we have the intention of the fisherman set out before us there in verse 47 again. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels but cast the bad away. You have that mental picture of the fisherman casting their net and then drawing it into shore and sitting down and going through their catch, and the bad they throw away. The gospel preacher might be likened unto the fisherman. It is his desire to cast the gospel net, to cast it far and wide. And it is his intention that as he draws in the gospel net, that he will have caught many souls for Jesus Christ. Now sometimes, when he casts abroad the gospel net, he doesn't catch anything. Like the disciples, you recall, who toiled all night and caught nothing. He never caught one thing. A minister of the gospel can toil all night and coil quite a few nights and still catch nothing. But he must go on toiling. He must go on spreading the gospel net because he wants to catch fish. He wants to catch souls in the gospel net. And the Lord Jesus has made it very clear, as we have said, that the two occupations are alike. There in Matthew chapter 4, verse 18, and Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. You men have been fishing for fish. Follow me, and I will make you fishers. You're still going to be fishers, but you're going to be fishers of men. And there the Savior revealed the intention of the gospel preacher to fish for souls and to seek to win the lost for Jesus Christ. And as a gospel minister who was called into the ministry through this very verse, it is no secret, and it is not the intention of this minister to make it a secret, but it is no secret that the intention of the gospel preacher and the intention of this gospel preacher is to win souls for Jesus Christ, to seek to convince men and women of their need of Jesus Christ. That's my intention. It is my intention to seek to win souls for Christ. It is my intention, with the help of the Spirit of God, to convince men and women that they need to be saved. It is my intention to show sinners that their only hope for eternity is the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there are some men, and they go out and they call themselves gospel preachers. And when they come to preach the message that they call the gospel, you can hardly find the gospel in their message. They're nearly afraid to come out with it. They're nearly afraid to tell people. Yeah, I'll go as far as saying, yes, they are afraid. Tell people that they're sinners and they need to be saved. Well, by the grace of God, I will always, whatever the congregation, whatever the audience, when the opportunity arises, I will preach the gospel and be as bold as the Spirit of God will make me, to tell sinners that they need Christ. That's my intention. And that's the intention of the fisher of men. When he spreads the gospel net to warn sinners of the great judgment that is coming and to tell sinners there is a way of escape. That's how sinners are sought. So we have the intention of the fishermen. We have the instruments that the fishermen use. We're told here in this parable by the Lord Jesus, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net. There's the instrument. This is a drag net. Fishermen go out in their boats and then they cast the net. Then they drag the net behind them. This isn't men that use the fishing rod, but they use the net. The net is the instrument. The sea is the world. The net is the gospel. The gospel of the kingdom of heaven. It's the gospel net that the Lord uses to bring sinners to Jesus Christ. I want you to notice what the Lord said in verse 47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net. Just one net. In other words, there's just one gospel. There's just one gospel that is able to save souls. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not the gospel of a church or a denomination. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ, Paul says, which is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And Paul said that if I or an angel preach any other gospel unto you than the gospel I have preached, let him be accursed. That's strong language, isn't it? That was the language of the Spirit of God. Let him be accursed. Let him be anathema. There's only one gospel. And woe betide the man that preaches any other gospel. He'll have to answer for it in the day of judgment. And this one gospel is the only gospel that God will bless to the salvation of souls. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Remember the words of the Savior to his disciples? He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. There's the spread of the gospel net. We have our sister, Miss Cassie Walker, coming in a few weeks' time, and she'll be telling us about what she intends to do. She intends to go to Kenya to be a missionary there. What to do? To spread the gospel net. And it is her intention that souls will be gathered into that net. She's going to take the gospel to every creature. And the Lord went on to say, and he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And so it is the preaching of the gospel that God uses to save souls. Paul tells us that. For it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. And many people today believe that preaching the gospel is foolishness. That's why so many churches have abandoned the preaching of the gospel. Oh, the preaching of the gospel, they tell us, doesn't bring the people in. So we have to find something else to bring the people in. And they have abandoned the preaching. Paul said it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. See? It's the preaching of the gospel that will save them that believe. Nothing else but the preaching of God's word. That's the instrument. That's the gospel net. It is the preaching of the depravity of man and his inability to save himself that will save souls. It is the preaching of Jesus Christ as the only way of escape and the only hope for the sinner that will save souls. It is the preaching of the cross. It is the preaching of the slain lamb. It is the preaching of the shed blood that will save souls. It is the preaching of the vicarious death of Jesus Christ. It is the preaching of the atoning work of Jesus Christ. It is the preaching of His victorious resurrection that will save souls. Nothing else. I don't care what men come up with. No matter how attractive it may appear to be, I wouldn't touch it with a barge pole if it's not the preaching of the gospel. The preaching of Jesus Christ. It's the preaching. Sadly, many churches have got away from that, from the preaching. We'll have a discussion. We'll have a debate. We'll sit down in a little group and we'll discuss the matter, not on your life. It's the preaching. God has ordained the preaching of the gospel as the means of saving souls. And I have no intention, or any of our ministers, have no intention of sitting down with someone and debating this matter. There's nothing to debate. The word is, man is a sinner, hopelessly lost, depraved, totally in his nature. And if he's to be saved and rescued from the sea of sin, it's the gospel of Jesus Christ that will do it. Every time. So the gospel net needs to be spread. That's the instrument. And then you'll notice the ingathering of the fish, for it says in verse 47, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind. We're told by our Savior that when the net was cast into the sea, it was gathered into it fish of every kind. I've never done that kind of fishing. I've hardly done any kind of fishing at all, whether with a rod or a net. But any little bit that I do know about drag net fishing, it drags into that net all kinds of things. All kinds of fish. Things of every kind. Do you know, when we think of it, that's the wonder of the gospel message. It will reach and gather in men and women of every kind. When Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and preached the gospel, he preached Christ, 3,000 souls were saved. I don't believe for one moment that each one was a clone of the other. We're all different. All from different parts of the land. Some, I'm sure, were poor. Some were rich. Some were small, some were great, some were famous, some were infamous, some were deep-dyed sinners, some were good-living sinners. But they were all gathered into the gospel net. They had all one thing in common. They were sinners. They were Christ's rejecters. They had nailed Jesus Christ to the cross. And we rejoice that this gospel is for all of every kind. This gospel of Jesus Christ does not discriminate. This is not a gospel for the churchgoer. This is not a gospel just for the good living person or the upright person. This is a gospel for all of mankind, for everyone to hear. And my, when the gospel net is spread, then the gospel net will bring in men and women of every kind. It was spread in the days of Saul of Tarsus, and Saul was caught in the gospel net. And what was he? He was party to a murder. He was as good as being a murderer. He had the blood of Stephen on his hands. But the gospel reached and saved Saul of Tarsus. That man that hated the church of Jesus Christ, that man who hated Christ and all who walked in the way of Christ. But all the gospel changed him. Nicodemus. There's another man who was caught in the gospel net. Nicodemus was an upright religious man, a member of the Sanhedrin, a ruler. He was caught in the gospel net. Cornelius. If you had a look on Cornelius, been in his home, you'd have said that man saved. But he wasn't. He had every appearance of being a saved man. Until Peter came and preached to him. What was it that was said of Cornelius? He was a devout man and one that feared God with all his house. Acts 10 and 2. And lo and behold, he was caught in the gospel net. Some of every kind. And Mary Magdalene, possessed of 7 devils. When she was brought in with the gospel net, Mary Magdalene became cast out, and she was a new person in Christ Jesus. That's the wonder of this great gospel message. Believer, let us cast that net far and wide. You never know who you're going to catch in the gospel net. Never know. That's how sinners are sought. Now we see how sinners are separated. We're told by the Lord Jesus that when the net is full, it is brought to shore, and the good is separated from the bad and put into vessels. Which when it was full, verse 48, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad. The word bad there is a strong word. It means putrid, vile, and wicked. It's a description of the sinner. Bad. Putrid, vile, and wicked. But notice what we might call the delay. There's a delay here on the part of the fishermen. Because it says, which when it was full, they delayed bringing in the net. They didn't bring it in half full. They didn't bring it in after just a few hours fishing with hardly any fish in the net. They waited until the net was filled with fish. Then it was brought to the shore. They continued fishing. However long it took, they continued fishing with their net until the net was full. There was this delay. And bringing it to the shore until it was filled. What does that teach us? It teaches us that the gospel will be preached until the day of grace has come to an end. The gospel will continue to be preached until the door of mercy is closed. Noah was not only the builder of an ark, he was a preacher of righteousness. And when that ark was completed, the door stood wide open. One door was open wide, and it was open for the whosoever will. They could enter in. And while it stood open, Noah preached. There was the delay in the closing of the door. The door of mercy was still open. The day of grace was still there. And when Noah and the seven members of his family entered in, and no one else was going to enter in, then the door was shut. The Lord shut them in. The day of grace had ended. And for those who had not entered into the ark of salvation, there was nothing but a fearful looking to of judgment. Grace has not ended. The door of mercy is still open. Sinners can still enter in. Wonderful grace and wonderful mercy of God. The gospel net is still being spread. The gospel is still being preached. It's still the day of opportunity. It's still the day of grace. Sinners can enter in. When it was full, that's when it was drawn to the shore. And that day is coming when the gospel net will be filled. And there will be no more preaching. There will be no more preaching of the gospel. No more preaching of Christ. And the day of grace will have ended. The door of mercy will have closed. That will be the end. For sinners today, there's still time. Not only do you have the delay, you also have their diligence. Look carefully at the words of verse 48. Which when it was full, they drew to shore, and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. They sat down. That speaks to me of their diligence. They sat down. They were going to examine this catch. They were going to pay close attention to it. And they were going to make sure that nothing passed them by, that the bad was indeed cast away. They made a diligent examination of the catch. And what was deemed to be good was kept, put into vessels, and what was deemed to be bad was cast away. The Lord then interprets those words for us. Because the Lord then tells us what that all means. For he says in verse 49, so shall it be at the end of the world, the angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. The Lord says, it will be like on the last day. The Lord is teaching here that not all who have been brought in, who have been influenced by the gospel net, are truly the sons of God. What he's saying here, what he's teaching here, is that some will have nothing but a profession of salvation. They'll have no possession. Oh yes, they'll be part of the visible church. They'll be looked upon and seen as believers. But all they have is a profession. That's all they ever made. That's all they ever had. That's all they depended on, was a profession. No possession. They don't have Christ in their hearts. They haven't been truly born again. They haven't truly been saved by grace. They haven't been regenerated. They'll be cast away. They'll be cast away. That's what the Lord says. And then there'll be some who will sit under the preaching of the gospel and will pretend to be Christians, pretend to be saved. But the day of judgment will find them out. There'll be that diligent search, that diligent examination of their profession. And if it's discovered they're not in Christ, they'll be cast away. Are there others who seek to live perhaps by the principles of the gospel? But once again, they don't know the person of the gospel. And while they live here on earth, all seems to be well. The onlooker, the outsider, will say, well, there's a man just like Cornelius. A devout man who feared God with all of his house. You say, that man saved. But he wasn't. Many Corneliuses. The day of judgment will find them out when a diligent examination is made. The day is coming when a diligent search, a diligent examination will be made of all who profess to have claimed Christ as their Savior, the Christ of the gospel. And they'll be found out then. I want you to notice something here. The Lord said, so shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. The angels will be doing this examination. Not the preacher or the pastor or the minister. There are many who have fooled their ministers. I've told you before of a man, a young man, who fooled his parents and fooled his minister. Was put in a position of teaching in the Sabbath school. Everybody believed he was a true Christian, but he was living a lie. Until one day he could live that lie no longer. And he went to the minister and told him, you know, I'm not saved at all. I've been living a lie. I tell you, it was better that he owned up to it then. I'm sure he took into consideration the embarrassment of it all, and everybody thought he was saved all along. But it was better for him to be truthful and honest. Because in the day of judgment, at the end of the world, the angels will be sent forth and they'll carry out the examination. And the false professor and the pretender. Will be cast away. Cast away. Severed. Nothing will escape the keen eye of the angels. They'll be looking for that one sign which determines whether a soul is saved or not. What is that sign? The blood of Jesus Christ. We know that in the day of judgment, Christ will sit upon his throne and the nations will stand before him and they'll divide the sheep from the goats. And you know that a farmer today, a sheep farmer, will put his own mark upon his sheep. And set them apart as being his sheep. The Lord Jesus sets his mark upon us. Sets us apart. As being his sheep, the Lord's mark is on us. And what is that mark? It is his own blood. The blood of Jesus Christ. And the angels and the angels will be looking for that mark, that token. And if it's not there, doesn't matter what their profession is, if it's not there, it'll be cast out. Then you have the division. The Lord said, so shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. Sever. Something, to me anyway, there's something very final about that word, sever. They will sever the wicked from the just. The word means to divide or separate. Here's the final separation. Here it is. Take place at the end of the world. The Lord uses this word in another place, this word sever. Turn please to Matthew 25. Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, as the end of the world, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them. It's the same word, sever. It's translated separate here. And he shall sever them. One from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. And the Lord, the King of glory, will say to those on his right hand, the sheep, enter thou into thy rest. And to the goats, those on his left, depart from me. I never knew you. There it is, believer, there it is. The final separation. Never to be joined again. Notice something else. The Lord in the parable speaks about the good and the bad, the wicked and the just. In Matthew 25, he talks about the sheep and the goats. He never mentions a third party. Just the two. So we need to determine in which group do we stand tonight. Good, the bad, sheep, the goats, the wicked, or the just. Because there's no middle ground. The final separation. And then you have how sinners are sentenced. For it says, so shall it be at the end of the world The angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. Mothers separated from fathers, husbands from wives, children from parents. Final separation. And shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing, gnashing of teeth. Here the Lord continues his interpretation of the parable. Here he speaks about the doom of the ungodly, the false professor, the pretender. Yes, these are actually the words of God's Son. The Lord Jesus, the Son of God, is talking about the doom of sinners. Do you know that the Lord Jesus, in his earthly ministry, had more to say about the eternal abode of the Christless soul than he had to say about the eternal rest of sins? He had more to say about hell than he had about heaven. He did. These are the words of the Lord Jesus. He's talking here about sinners and their sentencing to their eternal doom. He mentions the place, for he says, shall cast them into the furnace of fire. He's talking about hell, of course. The Lord uses these words, the furnace. You ever seen a furnace? Those big furnaces and steelworks. A furnace of fire. Whenever buildings go on fire, they may be described as looking like a furnace. Abraham rose up early one morning, went to the place where the day before he had stood with God, praying for the inhabitants of the cities of the plain, Sodom and Gomorrah. When the Lord brought Lot and some of his family out of Sodom, he then rained fire down from heaven. It must have been a terrible sight what Abraham saw the next morning. Listen to what it says. The Holy Ghost has recorded that, a description of that sight that Abraham saw. He looked towards Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain, and beheld, and lo, the smoke of that country went up as the smoke of a furnace. That's what that judgment of God upon the Sodomites reminded him of. It reminded him of a furnace. That's how he described it. That's what hell is. It's a furnace. It's a furnace of fire, and the fire is not quenched. The furnace never dies. Robert Murray McShane, one day, as he was out walking, was passing by a blacksmith shop. There, of course, in the corner was the furnace. I've worked in a blacksmith shop. And you get it going and it gives off tremendous heat. You put the rod of nettle into it. If you weren't careful, it would just melt the rod away. McShane went in to the blacksmith whom he knew he wasn't saved. And McShane just said a few words to that blacksmith. He said to the blacksmith, he says, look at that furnace. What does it remind you of? That's all he said. Turned on his heel and went out. The blacksmith thought and thought about what McShane had said, and he saw the flames and the fire. And of course, it reminded him of hell. And he knew he was going there. And as a result of McShane planting that little seed in his mind, that blacksmith got saved. Because he didn't want to drop one day into that unquenchable, fiery furnace. That's how hell is described, as a lake of fire, as a furnace of fire. But notice something else. What Abraham saw, he said the smoke went up as the smoke of a furnace. What did the Lord Jesus say? He said the bad shall be cast into a furnace. No, into the furnace. This is the furnace of all furnaces. It's the furnace. It's an eternal furnace. It's a never-dying furnace. The fire of this furnace will not be quenched. And one day sinners will be cast into it. The final separation will take place on that great day. Better make sure. Better make sure you're on the right hand of God. Because nothing but a fiery furnace awaits you. Fearful, isn't it? And the punishment, this is it. Doesn't end there, you see. We'll be cast into a fiery furnace. And there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Remember when we lived in Ulster? In the middle of the Troubles, a man who got into his car in the town of Portadown. A bomb had been placed underneath his car so that once he turned the ignition and moved, the car blew up. But instead of killing this man instantly, the car went on fire. This man was trapped inside. And people who were there saw what happened, said they would never forget. Never forget the cries of that man. As he was trapped in that car and was burned to death. Said those cries would live with them forever. What then will the cries be like of lost souls in a fiery furnace that will burn forever? Better make sure we're in Christ, because there's nothing but a fiery furnace awaiting us. Let's
bow our heads in prayer. O God, we come to Thee. And O Lord, this was a solemn word that Thou didst give to Thy hearers. Yea, Lord, Thou didst give it to them over and over again. The tares and the wheat will grow together until the day of reaping. The tares will be cast into the furnace of fire, where there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Lord, that day of harvest is coming, when the sickle will be put in, and the tares and the wheat will be cut down, and the tares will be cast away. Lord, that day is coming when the net will be drawn to the shore. The careful examination will be made of the catch. And those who were not truly in Christ, O God, will be cast again with the tares into that furnace of fire, where there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. O gracious God, we pray that everyone here tonight will, on that great day of judgment, will be standing on the right-hand side of God. Lord, may none who frequent this place be on the left-hand side, only to be separated from us forever. Lord, answer prayer. Use the word to speak to hearts and save souls. Wherever, Lord, this message goes, as the word, Lord, the gospel is spread across the world, Lord, use it, we pray, to gather in sinners to Jesus Christ, where they'll be truly born again. Lord, be with us as we leave the house of God. And even, Lord, come and meet with us this week for prayer. And Lord, for those that are still on the broad road, may we this week pray them into the kingdom. Lord, do that new thing. Do that new thing, we pray. Grant every one of us traveling mercy now. Be with us, Lord, as we make our way home. Keep Thy hand upon us for good. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us forever. Amen.